In a world of EMS podcasters, EMS Office Hours is the only live podcast bringing you the latest topics and opinions in EMS. Turn down your scanner and turn up your speakers as we join Jim Hoffman and Josh Knapp on their latest EMS podcasting journey.
Welcome to EMS Office Hours. This is Jim Hoffman.
And this is Josh Knapp.
And we are minus Dave
Brenner
today.
He is in Las Vegas. And as we know, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. So we really can't tell you what he's up to.
Yeah. I don't know anyway, so it doesn't matter.
I believe he's teaching reading 12 leads.
Oh, okay.
Which he is a recognized expert in.
I gotta get a hold of him, man. I'd like to videotape his lecture.
Yeah, it's a freaking great. You know, it's a 24-hour class.
I'd like to videotape the entire thing from start to finish. I've actually gotten. Some emails requesting if that was available on DVD.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
yep.
You know,
people that can't travel and, you know. So.
I have a feeling that Dave would be interested in listening to how to make that happen. Maybe we could put that together for him.
Yeah. So, anyway.
With the miracle of Twitter.
Exactly.
You'll get it. You'll get how to read 12 leads and understand heart blocks in 140 characters or less.
Yeah, right. Well, speaking of Twitter, of course, I encourage people to follow us on Twitter. We're at EMS Safe over on Twitter, so follow us there. And don't forget to visit the main site at emsofficehours.com and also emsseo.com. And Josh, your website as well. I encourage people to go check out your oxygen wrench tool.
Only if you want the best one ever made, ever.
Exactly. Yeah. And go check that out. It's at wantnu.com. It's WANTYNU.com.
And what does that stand for?
It stands for... I know what it stands for. Excuse me.
You've only done it a million times. You only said that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the first time you heard it?
Yeah.
You were like, ha, that's true.
So, encourage people to go check us out, those sites.
You're not going to say it, are you?
No.
No, you're really not. You're going to leave it to me.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't nothing till you need us.
Right. Exactly. Well, I'm going to also want people to check us out on iTunes. Be sure to go over there and give us a like and a rating on one or all of the podcast episodes there. Over 200-something episodes are posted there, so go check that out. I mean... lots of great content, whether it's just us giving our opinions.
True?
What's
is
that?
Is it true that we're the only live podcast?
I don't know about that. I like this. Well, we were the only live podcast, and now there are one or two others that are...
they won't last.
...seeping in.
They come and
cracks.
Go. The other podcasts come and go, but we remain.
I know. I don't know why.
Quality!
Yeah.
Quality stays.
Well, I like to, you know, talk about some of the things that go on in the ambulance. And we always say on this show, we would like to try to bring up the things that are talked about on the truck, you know, that don't really get a larger voice, but yet there's similar things that are discussed on the truck, but yet... you know, it's never really put out there. You know what I mean? Like, everybody will be on the truck and you talk about the same thing, whether it's management or whether it's how everybody starts an IV or whether it's
Pay?
Pay, right.
Always
different types of things. And everyone seems to talk about the same topics, but it's, you know, a little different. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So, you know, that's what our goal is on this show, of course, is to kind of get that out there and encourage people to send us their questions and comments and to engage with us, man. You know? That's my thing. I want more people engaging with us on this show than we get. You know?
I'm not quite sure how to bring it to that level.
I don't know if we don't get engagement because we suck, and that's why we're not getting any engagement. Although, looking at a lot of the feedback and emails I get, I'd like to think we don't, because of what I've never gotten a negative comment on anything that we've talked about, you know, on the show or the way we do the show. Mm-hmm. So I have to think that we don't really suck. I just guess people just don't have the time or
energy.
Well, I don't want to say time, because people, like I said, we do have, you know, close to, you know, I don't know, 4,000 or so listeners a month, and it's not that, I think. I think it's the engagement end of it. I think people are sort of afraid to put themselves out there.
Well, I think that, you know, management traditionally in EMS has been a little draconian. They try to keep us on a short leash.
Yeah, but the stuff we talk about in the show isn't necessarily, it's not anti-management, it's not anti-EMS. It's, if anything, it's pro-EMS.
Yeah, but that's not the point. We have opinions, and we want to run it differently. And there is a fear of change that I think is a theme throughout the industry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, if you think about it, any time we get, you know, a new protocol, everybody, you know, sort of shirks. What's wrong with the way we were always doing it?
Yeah, there's a little bit of a pushback with that. People don't like to.
And why should we, you know, why should we want to, why would we think that there would be anything different with the powers that be?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why rock the boat? Why get people thinking? Why get people questioning, why are we paid this way? Why do we have to work these hours? You know, all the other questions that, I mean, right now, the place I'm working is going through sort of a transitional situation because we just can't get enough people to fill the positions. And there's that constant struggle between human resources and what we're trying to do in the field. And we're just, I was making a joke with one of the dispatchers the other day because I was, you know, handed in my equipment for the end of tour. And, you know, he was, like, joking with me that, you got to stay for another, you've been mandated to stay for another 4 hours.
Yeah, the old mandation.
Yeah, but we don't have it. I mean, we only have it when there's a state of emergency. But there are a lot of other systems out there that run mandation as a matter of course, as a regular, you know. As a regular operating procedure. Up, you're shifting, your relief didn't come in, you got to stay.
Yeah.
Excuse me, I have a life, I have another job, I have whatever, but it's I have not to be here. And there seems to be that given that it says, you know, your time is not your own, your time is ours.
Yeah. Well, it depends upon, I guess, where you work and how they run things. I mean, you know, it's a difficult challenge, I guess, for management.
Everybody.
When somebody, you know, you've got a 24-hour operation, 24/7, and people calling sick or want to take vacation, things like that, and you've got to keep it,
you've got to keep it running, the gears turning.
And this is when we could talk about things like keeping butts in the seat, and sometimes, and that's the way, you know, but the upper management looks at it like, well, whatever it takes to keep asses in the seat so that the trucks keep running, and they keep providing the services to the communities that they're responsible for. You know,
and we've said it before, we're not anti-management. I mean, you and I have both been in management. There's not a vein of this show that says, oh, management is bad. You know, we all have our priorities, and sometimes the requirements, our life requirements, differ. You know, if you're involved in an organization that has made a commitment to either a civic entity or just as a social responsibility to stay running, then you need to do what you need to do to keep those things running. But as individuals, as people, we have our obligations to ourselves, our families, you know, our loved ones. And those obligations from those two sides aren't necessarily aligned.
Yeah. But, and the thing is you know, sometimes it's almost like, you know, the mandation end of it is it's sort of sprung on you when you come in. Oh, I'm going home. Oh my God, thank God I can get the hell out of here. It's such a long shift. I had this, I did that. And then you get there, you got to stay, man. Your relief isn't showing up.
I mean, look, you know, we have most of the time mandation is because of weather. I mean, really, truly, it's more often that than just your shift, your relief hasn't shown up. But in smaller organizations, it could be down to that your relief hasn't shown up.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's, what do you do then? I mean, if that's what you signed up for, if that's your organization, then did you go into that knowing, and is a mandation something that you can expect but doesn't happen too frequently?
Well, we used to...
Is that like that stretch of highway that you can usually speed down, but you know every now and then they do a ticket blitz?
Mm. Well, you know, we used to have a thing where even if your relief was late, you had to log on, you know, and wait until they showed up, you know, and how much does that suck? Because let's say your relief is 10, 15 minutes late, and you get hit with a call. That's an hour and a half. You know what I mean? EMS calls are not, you know, 5 minutes and you're back. It's 10, 15, you know, that person being 10 or 15 minutes late causes you to get a late call if your agency works like that. And then you're on that late call, which isn't really a late call because it's a new shift. And you're on that call for an hour and a half, and now when you get done with that call, you got to try to make it back to the garage to do shift change to get relieved, and you might get hit with yet another call on the way back, you know.
Right, because technically you're still in service.
Right, exactly. And every place works differently, you know, how they do things. Where I work now, they're pretty... good about trying to get you off on time, and I think they tried to do that because of overtime and you know, things like that. So they actually will call us back to the main garage, like, you know, half an hour before end of shift, and that gives us time to, you know, wash vehicles, fuel the vehicles up, wash the vehicles, get our stuff off the trucks, things like that. Because the way it works where I'm at, it's not a truck.
So do they actually choose to put you out of service?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow, interesting. Yeah. And so they have control because what, you know, in the New York City system, as you remember, the voluntaries, don't have any control. I mean, they're I don't want to say slaves to, but beholden to, a separate entity, which is now FDNY EMS.
No, they don't. The thing is, but FDNY
dispatch.
They actually, but they ran the same way. I mean, they weren't put out of service either, unless it was for equipment or fuel or something like that.
You know? No, they actually now they have overtime personnel. So I think if you're on
so overtime staff, personnel, I think, but that's because the voluntaries never did an overtime personnel thing. The FDNY always did that.
We're allowed.
Yeah, I don't know if we're allowed to do that type of thing. But FDNY used to have a thing where, you know, you had somebody who was on the truck, they were on overtime, whatever, they can say at some point, you know, put aside service overtime personnel, they're going home.
Right. Right.
You know. But where I'm at now is pretty, I mean, listen, you do get late calls and things like that. But
I think that's the nature of the beast, isn't it?
But for the most part, you know, they will put you out of service and bring you back to do what you have to do, because they don't go truck for truck, one for one relief. They have trucks on the line that oncoming crews get onto and go in service. It's not simply sitting there waiting for your truck to come back and get in service.
So they actually put a different unit in,
right,
to cover the same area.
Right, exactly. So it's good that way. But there are times where the system is overwhelmed with calls and the high call volume. And when that happens, then there can be a one-for-one relief. There can be, the times where you're not put out of service or anything like that to get back. You come back, and the only time that they'll revoke that sort of out of service shift change leeway, it is a high priority call that you're close to as you're driving back.
Okay, that's
which kind
enough.
Of sucks, because if you're sitting there, I'm going home, then you're back, and then they say, I'm sorry, we put you back in service because there's a high priority call and you're going to drive right past it. But you know what? That's nature of the beast. That's part of this job, and it's understandable.
Yeah, but you know, I gotta ask you, because I know the way that I used to respond, and I remember a while ago when I was working 911 with a particular partner, and we were always like, go get them. We were actually going back. We were, we were literally logged off, and there was a call out for a job, a high priority job. I think it was an arrest or something like that, that was literally in our, we would fall across it in, another 30 seconds as we were heading back. And they were sending a unit from way out, that was easily extended by 15 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And we literally had to fight. The dispatcher at the time couldn't log it back on. They had to get, a lieutenant or a captain. And we essentially had this, dialogue on the, on the radio system that said, look, we're here, we can do it. And they were saying, can't put you on it. And we were saying, we're right here. And they said, okay, listen, just go. We'll make the adjustments. You go. Do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, that's the rarity. I think that as we have fallen into more of a regimented response, those type of, I'm here now, show me on it, responses have really gone, the way of the dinosaur. We can't do those anymore.
Yeah.
It's
much more controlled, I think, because I think a lot of agencies, especially bigger agencies now, they're trying to account for every minute, every penny that's spent on things. And they have it set up, for not really having a lot of leeway with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because they're trying to control everything. Listen, when I was in EMS, when I first started, you could drive over the goddamn city and pick up calls and get flagged down for shit and back the
wild
unit.
West, right?
That?
It was the Wild West.
I wouldn't say it was the Wild West, but I mean, I felt it made the job more fun, more interesting, by being able to back up another crew if it sounded like they were on a critical call, instead of waiting for them to get there and then calling for backup, showing up on PD jobs if you felt the police were going on a call that might be EMS related.
PD-13.
Yeah. All that stuff. Now, and as my towards the end of my New York City time anyway, that became less and less. Became less and less able to do that because they were trying to control where units were and how they were responding. And I guess to a point there's some merit in that. You don't want people driving all over the city doing whatever they want to do. You know, but and then the safety issue of ambulances going lights and sirens and they're not dispatched to things and stuff like that. I get all that, but I don't know. I think when they did away with a lot of that and started controlling that type of activity, I think the morale, I think, kind of went down because it wasn't the camaraderie that you had started to become less and less because you weren't seeing people on calls anymore.
And some people weren't understanding,
yeah,
you know, why you weren't doing something when yeah. you did it in the past.
Right.
And exactly. I think that camaraderie is a good point because, you know, look, you know, you were considered... Do you remember when you were, especially when you were 911, and you knew when the units in your area were getting off,
mm-hmm.
and you were considered a scale if you
right.
didn't volunteer.
You didn't pick up that late call for them.
Right, you know? Exactly.
I mean, listen,
and now
I used to get a late call, you know, in the city, and then they used to give me a late call. I was getting over at 7 o'clock. They give me a late call, you know, at that quarter of. I get on the radio and I'd be like, you know, okay, you know, 32 Frank at 6:45 a.m. trying to remind everybody that I'm getting off in 15 minutes, you know, and the unit would pick up the call because they would hear me say that, oh, I did the getting off in 15 minutes, and they would pick up, and within reason, if they were in the area, it would be coming from across town, but, you know, if they were in the area, they would pick it up, and again, that stuff sort of went to the wayside. You know, and actually when I was working in upstate New York, that I was actually shocked when we weren't allowed to sort of respond to a call or go to a PD call or something like that or a fire call without being dispatched. We couldn't leave the building unless we were dispatched, you know. Mm-hmm. We'd have people could call the building and say, hey, I need an ambulance, you know, I'm having shortness of breath. All right, we've got to call 911 so we can get dispatched. We can't just leave without being dispatched.
That's, yeah, it's crazy, right?
So, it's, you know, it's a little bit of frustration with that. And even where I am now, it's the same type of thing. You can't really just leave the post where you're at to go, you know, back up a police unit or something like that, you know, with anything. You can pick up a call if you feel you're closer or something like that. You can tell the dispatcher I'm closer and pick up a call for another unit. But that's rare because the area that I'm working in is so huge that units aren't usually that close to each other to justify saying that I'm closer. You know, unless you're coming right out of a hospital that's near the call or something like that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's I don't know. Yeah. Every system is different, whether they do, where you're responding from a garage, whether it's a system status management type thing, whether it's you're responding from a street corner. You know, how they run it, you know, is different because of the model that they're running it under, the response model that they have. And then on top of that, the agency's internal policies on what units can do and what units can't do.
And, you know, and it's interesting that you say that, you know, mention the P word, the policy word, because as we said earlier, it's taken a lot of spontaneity out of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can only do things when we're sent there. We can only do, you know, only pick up your jobs. And there's this sort of free flow about emergencies. You can't plan them. Nobody plans their emergency.
Yeah.
You know, emergencies happen. That's why we're there. So shouldn't there be a little bit of that give and take in the way that we, as the people in the field, the people experiencing this stuff, can respond, other than when you trip across it? You know, listen, you're flagged for a job. I don't care if you're sitting there and you have one tank that's half filled of O2, you just finished with a cardiac arrest, and you got to go back after your drugs are gone. You stop by, you know, a guy in the street that's arrested or a whatever, you're going to stop and do what you can with what you got. But it seems to be that we're not allowed to go and say, hey, you know, we're nearby, let us go.
Yeah. I think part of it is you know, is agency-specific or system-specific sort of response and what you can and can't do. And some of it is also, like you had said too, that scale sort of mentality as well, where it's also up to the individual people to kind of step up and say, hey, I'm closer. You know, and I think for the most part, people in EMS will do that. You know, you did not. I don't think many people will say, "I'm not going to go help out another unit," or "I'm not going to respond to a high priority job." I think when people get called to scale, or people don't pick stuff up, is when it's the call that you hear that's for the drunk or the nonsense sick call, the toothache, the finger injury, stuff like that, where people are like, I'm not picking that up. It's going to make me get off late if I pick that up, if I get flagged for that call.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. let that person wait the extra 2 minutes, you know, for the unit to get there. They're still going to get to the hospital, but they don't need my emergency. They don't need me getting there 2 minutes earlier. It's not going to make a difference about how drunk they are, or make a difference on their finger injury, or their toothache, or their bellyache, or whatever.
Yeah, but we don't normally pick those calls up unless it was back.
I'm talking about as far as where you're stationed, and as far as when a dispatch goes out. You know, I mean, I'm talking about, let's say you're a unit that is getting off, gets assigned a job like that, and you're not, you know what I mean? You're not getting off, and you're on, and you could pick that up if they get off on time. You know, the hesitation to pick that call up is there, because you don't want to deal with that. You know,
well, those aren't the fun jobs, are they?
Right. Exactly.
Those aren't why we signed up. You know, we look at some of these people, you get a job. It's crazy. I got a late job like that just the other night. And when I got back, you know, the people in dispatch, because where I am in my system, I meet the people who are dispatching me. And, you know, we all get along. And mm-hmm. they were basically turned to me and said, really sorry about that, and it's not like they could control what happened, and it wasn't like I was happy about getting the job. It was absolutely one of those roll your eyes nonsense, like it couldn't wait till tomorrow, because truly it was one of those situations that could, and even if to that individual it could wait till tomorrow, you had to call an ambulance.
Yeah.
You know, meanwhile, we've seen all the time the people who roll up to the ER bay or the ER doors that are should have called an ambulance. I mean, we did a job it wasn't even a job that we had. You know, we were just there and we saw everybody scrambling at once. So my partner and I ran to help. Somebody drove up to the emergency room with their mother in the back, who apparently was having either difficulty breathing or chest pain or something like that, and arrested in the back of their car. And so we're sitting there doing, you know, everybody is around, you know, the mob scene that happens when it's in the ED,
mm-hmm.
you know, even outside the ED, the doctors rush out, the nurses rush out, we're there, and everybody, you know, we're doing CPR, we're trying to get a handhold on this woman to pull her out and put her onto a real bed or a real stretcher so we can get her into the ED and start the arrest protocol going. And it was just mayhem. And really, this person, not necessarily that you can predict that they wouldn't have arrested, but maybe with some ALS intervention could have kept them from it.
Yeah. I do want to talk about that here. In a second, I have a couple. Talk a little bit about the emergency end of things, but I also want to talk a little bit about a couple of questions that I got from last week, and also about.
So we're going to do this format now because of the way, you know, the way it's all breaking down for you and work and
yeah, stuff, you know. Yeah.
So the people who are tuned in right now listening to us live, get to
if we're hear live, it. You're going to hear The live shows, if you listen live, it's great because you get everything at one time. But
if you're listening, you're getting
30 minutes on one.
And you'll just have to hear my thoughts.
Yeah.
Next week.
Exactly.
Oh, that's.
You know. So.
There's an evil part of me that likes it. You just gotta have to wait.
Yeah, but it's only a week.
Only a week?
Yeah.
All right.
Only a week. So let me just bring up the question, and then I want to talk about this webinar.
Now, well, the question happened before or after the break. So somebody listening to this on the recorded.
It's not really a break. It's just us shutting up for 5 seconds, which you can't seem to do.
I can't do that. But I have a question. Is now somebody listening to this question is going to be listening this week, and then they're going to have to wait for the answer next week.
No, I'm going to ask the question when we come back.
You know, you really don't have a sense of drama there.
It's not that much of a question.
Okay.
I mean, you know, it's an EMS.
Well, it's coming from you.
It's an EMS question. If you want to hear it, come back next week.
All right. Sounds good.
Yeah.